As presence arises, there's the ability in you, even when the mind stream comes in the middle of being dragged along a mind stream, still to know that this is what's happening. And that's all that's needed. To know that you're being dragged along by a mind stream. That is, means consciousness is beginning to free itself from being totally trapped in thought. Just the little knowledge that you're being dragged along by a mind stream, a tiny witness in the background that, the moment that arises, there is the arising of space. It might be very small at first. But that's all that's needed. So you don't need to fix yourself, change yourself, and knowing, oh, I must get rid of my mind. No, know it when it's there. That's all that's needed. If you had to fix yourself, it could take a long time. Just to see the conditioning as it operates. And then it cannot sustain itself for that much longer if the witnessing presence remains. The unconscious mind stream will soon come to an end, because when consciousness comes in, it's hard for an unconscious movement to sustain itself. So instead of trying to rewire yourself through this or through that, and there are many people who promise to fix you, I don't. Instead of that, allow the awareness, the aware presence to be there. And that, of course, is not something you can make happen. It's either there or it isn't there. But the fact that you are here means it's there. Because it's only that that made you come here. If you came here by mistake, or because of some illusion that this was about something else, as it happened occasionally, people came when I, for a little while, when I gave some talks, I had the title Freedom from Time. And once or twice people came by mistake because they thought it was a seminar about time management. That happened twice. One person who came for the seminar was a big mistake. And the other one who came was a doctor who needed to sort out his time problems. And he sat there in astonishment for 3 hours. And he said, I've never heard anything like this before. And I had come for time management and thought, this is so much better. So, presence, you cannot, this is something you can't make happen, whether the witnessing presence is there or not. I'm speaking to you and saying that you, because I know that it is arising in you. If you should have come here by mistake, believing it was about something else, or believing that you this was here so that you could acquire more spiritual knowledge or more beliefs, or expecting something else, emotional experiences jumping up and down, who knows. And then you've probably already left. Or you're sitting here in a state of bitterness and resentment and loving every minute of it. And that certainly gives you a strong sense of self. And when you are in that state, of course, it also implies that the entire world is wrong and you are right. And you have a right to be in that state because they are all wrong. Oh, that's, well, now you know who you are. So you cannot make, presence is not something you can make happen through anything. It is perhaps grace, and if it is grace, it's happened to you. And it may, perhaps your mind doesn't even know it. It says, has it happened to me? I'm not quite sure if it's happened to me. Or the mind might say, no, you're wrong. It's not happening to me at all. And yet, presence can happen without you knowing it through the mind. It's happening to certain people in the world who have never read a single spiritual book, and it can happen in them, and they can't say anything about it. When it happened to me, I knew nothing about it. If somebody had said, presence has emerged in you, I said, what's that? I knew there was peace, yes. So that's a helpful, there's some peace there. It's emerging already, and this is why I'm saying to you, and I can't say this to everybody, that in the middle of the mind stream, there is now the possibility that space consciousness or presence is there as the witness, because there's enough presence in you for this to be possible. Oh, and that's all you need. Now, once it has begun to emerge, it is a perhaps, in Ramana Maharshi's terms, maybe it's a current of unconditioned consciousness, a current of awareness that has nothing to do with thought structures. It just arises. Once it has arisen, it's not going to stop. It can again become obscured temporarily, and then it's there again. If it became obscured for a longer period of time through some heavy identification in your life, it would break through. It would make room. To crack the shell of ego, but it's already cracked. But if the ego does a self-repair job, which it can do, the crack could disappear again for a little while, but then presence emerges more, and And so if you need a disaster for the final crack, you'll get it, and that is also grace. Or very often people don't realize that the disaster in their lives is the greatest grace possible. So grace sometimes is, as there's a book, a new book by Ram Dass, the spiritual teacher who suffered a stroke, and his new book is called Fierce Grace. So it's already there. You don't have to really, for once I agree with those teachers who say you don't have to do anything. Allow it. That's not really a doing. Allow it to emerge. That's the opening. Rather than feel I have to make it happen, you can't. You allow it. So the fact remains, the most powerful portal into space consciousness, into presence, is the act of allowing. And what do you allow? You allow the now to be. That is the widest portal. Although Jesus called it small, that's another perspective on it. And so you surrender until there's no further need to surrender, until surrender disappears. Surrender is detecting non-surrender, watching non-surrender dissolve, and entering surrender. Surrender is the bridge between resistance and non-resistance to life. Resistance and non-resistance to the present moment, to the form that this moment takes. So this is why it is our practice. It's the bridge. And use that bridge. No other bridge is needed to find yourself. The egoic structures cannot sustain themselves in surrender. That's the beauty of it and the simplicity of it. So people ask, how do I get rid of ego? How do I get rid of self? Just this. Everything happens then. Thought, compulsive thinking subsides. And with that, the egoic structures weaken because they are thought. Everything happens. As the compulsive thinking subsides, the mind becomes less noisy, you sense a stillness that arises. In this now, and is it within, is it without? It is space consciousness. And it arises. And then the miracle is it can act upon even the situation that you have surrendered to, the form of this moment. That's presence. which is the unconditioned consciousness, is the intelligence that then begins to operate outwardly. And that's a miracle. And that is only a byproduct of that. That's not why you do it. It's beautiful when suddenly the forms change and become more harmonious, change very quickly, helpful factors come into your life. You don't know how, where from. Coincidences happen because the totality, you're connected with it now. It's moving through you. But all that is only icing on the cake. There's a question. I didn't bring, we'll look this afternoon at more questions. One question that was asked was if consciousness moved through those human beings who became liberated, created the circumstances that are right for liberation to happen, why isn't consciousness doing it to everybody right now? What's the delay? I'm paraphrasing the question. Why can't consciousness do it now if it did it for Jesus, if it happened to this form or whoever? Of course the answer is it is happening right now. You're in the midst of an evolutionary transformation on this planet. Not only in the midst, you're an essential part, a cell within the totality of the human organism, because humanity one could consider as one organism with billions of cells. And this collective organism, which goes beyond the physical, is going through a transmutation as that organism. And part of the organism is still untransformed, and it's beginning its transformation. And what you perceive as your person is a cell in that organism that is going through that transformation. So from the limited point of view of the person, that is the greatest gift, the greatest adventure, the greatest purpose in your life. That greatest purpose is not in the future, but is already being fulfilled at this moment. People occasionally still come and say, what is my true life purpose? This. The outer form is secondary. Am I destined to live here or there? Am I destined to move in this way or that way? Or what words are destined to come out of my mouth? All that is the world of form, and that will look after itself. But what is the true purpose is the transformation of consciousness, which is now. And there are people who already in the midst of it, and their little mind still says, I'm looking for my life purpose. And then the outer will reflect the inner. You will teach in one form or another. You may be teaching already. Your very presence then becomes a teaching, because the good news is that just as unconsciousness can be contagious, unless you're very present, one unconscious person can create drama in an entire room full of people, can pull everybody just by starting to fume and shout, can pull everybody into reactivity until the whole room is totally unconscious and they're all shouting. And just like that, presence is also contagious. Presence spreads, transmits itself beyond whether you speak or not. Your mere presence is the transmission of presence, space consciousness, and it will transmit itself to those who are ready. And so it means you're teaching. Additionally, certain words may come out of your mouth. You may have some formal teaching function in this world. It's secondary what form it takes. It may be no form at all. The beautiful thing with many Indian teachers was there was almost no form to the teaching, no structure. They just sat under a tree or in a cave and it happened. There was no time. They didn't say, we will meet from such and such. Of course, the drawback is they might not be there when you get there. You have to... or they've just run away somewhere and you have to find them. That's a drawback, but we live in the world of polarities. So you hear you have the beauty, you know I'm going to be here, unless the universe has other plans. You know I'm going to be here at a certain time. But then we have almost too much structure, and then there's the totally unstructured way of teaching, and that has its great beauty. In a way, it's nicer than this, and yet, on the other hand, he may not be there, when, or he or she may have gone away. Or you have to hang around for hours and hours to, for him or her to make some appearance. Finally, at 4 o'clock in the morning, he comes. So it doesn't really matter what the outer form of the teaching is. You will be teaching, and you are teaching already. As the Course in Miracles puts it, you are a teacher of God, not through pointing to the Bible or... And the beauty with teaching is that you don't have to do it. It does it. Your responsibility is to remain open, surrendered to it, so that what was a dense personal self becomes more and more transparent. And that's... then it can move through you. And that is the purpose of your life. And you are becoming transparent even as you sit here. Less heavy. As the self structures dissolve, the heaviness of me goes. Spiritual weight loss program. I spoke of the ability that comes with presence to look at a situation, to look without analytical interference through the mind, and that brings in the intelligence that will deal with the situation, whatever form that will take. It will deal with it through an external factor, or it will deal with it through this form. And prerequisite for this looking, and I'm using the word metaphorically in a wider sense, of course, prerequisite for that is you must have surrendered to this moment before you can fully look at this moment, fully give it your complete attention. Your attention cannot be complete if you have not completely surrendered to the form that this now takes. Then that intelligence can operate. But even the slightest resistance to what is will obscure, impair the ability to simply give attention to a situation, a person, a thing. The greatest transformative agent there is. But you need to have opened the doors first. The portal of surrender must be open, then the looking. That the greatest miracle is that. I suggest that we spend today in silence. Alone with your mind. Allow the thoughts to be there if they come. Don't take them too seriously. Remember that they want to be taken seriously. They pretend that they matter absolutely, and no thought matters absolutely, and no thought contains the absolute truth. So there's a compassionate relationship that you now have with your mind. You just see its limitations, which in themselves are not a problem. They are the limitations of form. So you allow those limitations to be there. And there's the space around thought, in between thoughts. Compassion and allowing go together. So when we speak of compassion, it's intrinsically linked to allowing what is to be. That is compassion. And that has great power. Even your pain body, we looked at it yesterday. What can you do? You allow it to be. There is space around it. At first it seems very little space, and then a bit more. And so your relationship with your pain body is also one of compassion. Allowing other people's minds. There is no really other people's minds. It's the human mind coming through this form, allowing that, not demanding that they shouldn't manifest the human mind, not demanding that they should be enlightened by now. Why aren't you? You shouldn't behave like that anymore. You should be enlightened. Compassion with human unconsciousness. And what's unconsciousness? Complete identification with the conditioned mind is unconsciousness. Wherever you go, you'll find it. Wherever you meet humans, you'll find it. If you demand that it should be otherwise, you're in for big problems, because wherever you go, you'll meet all those people who are unconscious, and you'll start complaining about it, saying they should be more conscious, and in that become unconscious yourself. So you bring in consciousness through allowing, which is also compassion, that transforms. So compassionate through allowing with the human condition, which may is in yourself and in others. Not making, we looked at it yesterday, I'm put slightly different perspective on it, not making the human condition, which is unconsciousness, which is the human condition in its evolutionary, present evolutionary stage, which is coming to an end, but is still the predominant human condition, identification with mind, unconsciousness, pain body, identification with pain body, not making that into an identity for people. That's the opposite of compassion. That is called judgment. Now, judgment means to mistake unconsciousness for someone, to mistake the manifestation of human unconsciousness for a person. There is no person, there's simply the movement of human unconsciousness. So judgment, you confuse the being, the identity, the true identity of that being, with the behavior that they manifest through manifesting human unconsciousness. And of course, there can be no compassion there. It is judgment. You can do it to yourself too. You look back on what you did yesterday and it was unconscious, and then you say, that was me. I'm bad. Useless. Nothing to do with who you are. So wherever you meet unconsciousness, allow it. Nobody there. Not a person. That is the transmission of presence, that allowing. So you don't have to do anything to change them. The change happens. This afternoon we may look at some. So we keep noble silence for the rest of the day, at least until after dinner or beyond.